My name is Jason Doldane, and I'm the host of Reaching Roots, a podcast with a goal to make life easier for parents and families so they can reach further. We're talking to people who inspire us with their journey, tell us about the problems they are solving, and provide us insight that helps us and our children learn and grow. With the pandemic, so many kids have gained weight or developed unhealthy eating habits, along with too much screen time and perhaps a decrease in their sports or daily exercise. Lori Fishman says, "At this point, we all need an immunity booster." Lori is a child and adolescent psychologist, a parenting coach, and an instructor of psychiatry at Harvard Medical School. She has worked with thousands of parents and families, helping them to improve eating behaviors, increase exercise, and ultimately achieve a healthier lifestyle and stronger, leaner bodies. What if there was a way to drastically cut down the amount of snacking your family does on a daily basis without being on a diet or shaming? Lori spent 12 years at Boston Children's Hospital providing families with behavioral strategies for weight management. She has helped over 10,000 families and provides training to medical providers, school nurses, gymnastic coaches, and Girl Scout troop leaders. In this episode, Lori shares with us how parents can safely talk to their children about weight and improve their family's eating and exercise behaviors quickly and easily. Okay, Lori, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, our pleasure. So Lori, tell me a little bit about your background and how you started to get into kind of child psychology and the topic that you're now focusing on.
Sure. So growing up, I always knew I wanted to be a child psychologist. I always liked helping people and enjoyed how the human brain works. And I just kind of knew that I wanted to go into psych. What I never knew was that there were so many opportunities within psychology. And when I went to graduate school, there was a program in health psychology, so dealing particularly with medical or health issues. And in my training, I had initially worked with children in an oncology setting, working with children with cancer and their families, which was extremely rewarding and also really intense. And while I was in that program training, I felt like I still wanted to do health psychology, but really preferred to focus on health promotion versus working with sick or ill children. Right. So I switched my focus to the obesity work that I do now. And a lot of that stems just from my own struggles as a young person dealing with weight and in the 80s and 90s when there wasn't a lot of programs or opportunities for parents to really understand how to help overweight children. And so most of the interventions were really just based on what adults were doing. So Richard Simmons, you know, Weight Watchers, and some really now seemingly funny diet programs that I think my parents were trying to help me with at the time that completely failed.
Right. So can you talk a little bit about sort of like, you know, what did you specifically struggle with in kind of your childhood?
Sure. Yeah. I was overweight. I had a family history of weight issues. And I think it just was one of those things where in at this time, people were eating really unhealthfully, you know, like McDonald's and fast food. And I was raised by a single mother and she was working a lot. So it was a lot of, you know, feed yourself or you and your brother find something to eat. And I think it just, I wasn't in a very healthy food environment, but I don't feel like I had, you know, terrible parenting. I think that just, there wasn't a lot of information about what healthy foods were at that time. And even though we played outside a lot and there were sports and other activities to do, I feel like I wasn't regularly active as a child compared to how I am now or how kids can be now. So I think it was just kind of a product of the times.
Right. I mean, all the things you talk about that maybe you experienced, you know, I'm sure kids experience that today, right? I mean, a lot of it's with sort of the dynamic in their own household. So tell us.
Yeah, it's very family specific too. I think especially now with the screens and, you know, at least we went outside to play. I feel like kids now aren't even doing that. So.
Yeah. So what are some of the problems you're seeing now?
So that one, you know, the screen time, kids really preferring to be on phones and video games and watching TV and all the opportunities to be sitting in front of a screen and not moving. That's a huge issue.
Right.
I think also just the misinformation again about what healthy foods are and having so many different perspectives on like, oh, just don't give, you know, don't have carbs or don't have fat or don't, or have 1200 calories, right? There's so many differing opinions on how to manage this. And then the bigger issue I think that's happening is that parents are scared to talk to their kids about weight because they don't want to cause an eating disorder or they don't want to highlight it. Kids are getting bullied. And then again, we have this whole issue with processed food that is happening in, especially in America, where ease of access and affordability, these kinds of foods are tend to be high processed, shelf stable. And then of course the pandemic, which didn't help because nobody went anywhere for a really long time and schools were closed and there was no gym class and no sports. So
yeah, that's right. So there's a few themes you talked about there. I'd like to kind of pick the one of the ones that you actually chatted about, which is parents are scared to talk to their kids about weight. Now, you know, I've certainly witnessed that in various different situations where we don't actually know what to say to our kids, right? Because we don't want to actually risk them, you know, thinking about their body differently or having a negative body image when maybe they don't really realize that yet.
Right.
So what would you suggest, or how would you suggest parents actually sort of have that conversation without feeling like they're going to trip over something?
Mm-hmm. So I actually think that we just don't talk about weight at all, right? It's not that we ignore the issue. We just don't use the word weight, or we certainly don't want to use shaming words like fat or lazy, right? We really want to focus on health. Because listen, there are people out there who maybe are very overweight, you know, based on BMI, but don't have a negative body image. They think they look fine. And then, and there's a lot of body positivity out there. And I think it's great. So it's taking the emphasis off of appearance and putting it on health. So it's about being fit, being strong, being healthy, you know, being energized, eating foods that energize you, exercising or moving because it's good for your heart, because it's good for your lungs, because it gives you immunity, right? There's all these benefits to eating healthfully and exercising that have nothing to do with weight. And right. that even if you had a child that was underweight or healthy weight and they didn't do any physical activity, that doesn't make them healthy. It's just, we can't see it on them, right? Because they're not overweight, but at the same time, it doesn't make them healthy.
Right. Yeah, makes sense. So is there a, how would you suggest parents approach this? Because I mean, obviously I hear about I hear some parents talk about the fact that, you know, with girls, they're more sensitive, with boys, they're less sensitive. I mean, is there an issue there? And how do you kind of address those two?
Mm-hmm. So it's really not gender, weight is not gender exclusive. So that's something, kids, boys are getting teased about weight as well. In school. So I think it's important to have the conversation with both genders. But I think more importantly, it is about focusing on this being a family effort, right? What we don't want to do is highlight one person in the family and say, you need to exercise more, you need to eat healthy, but the rest of us are going to have cookies because we're fine, right? It has to be family-based. It has to be, we all together as a family are going to work on these goals without highlighting a specific child, because that's how you end up creating more of a shaming environment, right? It's really important that we do these things together as a family and that parents role model the behaviors so that it's not like something punitive or like a punishment that just the overweight child has to do.
Yeah, makes sense. It's like we're all in the same boat.
Right. And again, if you make it not about weight, then it's okay. Like we all technically should be moving every day. We all should be eating healthy foods. We all should be getting the right amount of sleep. None of us should be on screens all day. So it's not like any of us can really get away with it. It's just that some of us don't see it on our bodies outwardly when we do those behaviors, and a lot of us do. So I feel like it's, if you take the emphasis off appearance and off of weight, then it's really just about healthy habits and goals for everybody.
Yeah. So you use the words. You know, let's not talk about weight. Let's not talk about appearance. Let's talk about energy. Let's talk about health. Let's talk about exercise. So can you give us some sort of advice as to what families should be doing?
Sure. So I actually, as I'm using the word exercise with you, it's actually a term I also avoid using, because sometimes when you say exercise to kids or to adults even, they're like, oh, I don't want to do that, or that's too hard. So I really try to emphasize moving, like using the word moving. Right. And kids really need about an hour, 60 minutes of moving a day, physical activity a day for healthy development. And it doesn't have to be in a row. But what we want to make sure that our kids are getting that. And I think that's the biggest struggle that people have, parents have, particularly if their kids are not in a sport or they're maybe not athletic and don't want to play a sport, which is fine. I think our job as parents, though, is to require, and this is a big part of what I teach, to require movement every day, as we would require our kids to do homework or brush their teeth or take a shower. Like, there are certain things we as parents, we force our kids to do because, like, they have to do it. But right. Exercise, moving, is something that we actually very rarely say you have to do. Right. And yet it's actually just as important, if not more, than some of those other things.
Right. And what about sort of the energy part of it, which is, I guess you might have been referring to kind of foods. So can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Energy. So food, sleep, not having too much screen time. These are things that drain energy if you don't approach them in a healthy way. So if you're not getting enough sleep, you're going to be tired. If you're eating a lot of sugar or processed foods and not enough protein and healthy fats and fruits and vegetables, you're going to be tired. If you aren't doing any moving at all, you're going to be tired, right? So it's these healthy behaviors that we're focusing on really are around energizing, eating foods that energize, that make you feel full, that make it so you're not, your child's not asking for a snack a half an hour after they just had a snack. Because that's where these parent dynamics come in, where you're saying things like, how could you possibly be hungry? Or you just ate, and, you know, and then kids are getting shame, feeling ashamed about that. And parents are feeling like they're being mean. So that, I think that's where the dynamic comes in. And then what we want to do is feed our children or provide foods for our children that make them feel satisfied and full, so that they're not feeling like they need to eat every 15 minutes and not having too much processed food or sugary treats all over, available all the time in our homes. You know, it's not saying they can never have a treat. And I'm a big proponent of not restricting any one particular food. Like, you tell a kid they can't ever have ice cream, all that kid's going to think about is ice cream, right? So you definitely don't want to do that. But there's a difference between having an ice cream cone on a Friday night with your family out at an ice cream store versus having 2 gallons of, you know, Häagen-Dazs or whatever in your freezer every day available for any time, right?
Right.
So it's...
So what are some of the healthy foods? Because, you know, you talked a little bit about all the misinformation that's actually out there with all these various different diets. So what would you kind of suggest to parents?
Yep. So I would suggest trying to avoid thinking about foods as healthy versus not healthy. Again, I'm changing words all over here, but and think about them more as energizing, right? Because, you know, there are foods that are healthy in some aspects, but it's not something necessarily we want to eat all day, right? So I really like to focus on protein and healthy fats. So protein, chicken, meat, eggs, fish, dairy. People will, you know, everyone will have their particular issues with some of these foods, nuts, dairy, you know, that they might not be able to offer. But really thinking about protein, because that's what keeps you satisfied. And then healthy fats. So like seeds, avocados, you know, foods that have healthy fats in them. Because again, when we all went on these low fat, no fat diets in the 90s, that was a huge fad. People still feel like no fat is the way to go. So what they did was they took all the fat out of the foods, and in order to make them still taste good, they replaced them with sugar, which is why there's an even bigger obesity crisis now than there was in the 90s.
Right.
Because now we're just eating so much sugar. And the problem with eating sugar is that it makes you tired and it makes you hungry again in a short amount of time. So I always go with the example of, like, if you're starving, and I think of a snack that most kids eat, which is goldfish crackers, right? If you're starving,
right,
how many goldfish crackers do you need to eat to feel full and satisfied and ready not to eat again for 2 or 3 hours, right?
Is there an answer?
No. It's a definite amount of goldfish. Yeah. It's probably like the the wholesaler giant cartons that you can get that literally several gallons. I don't
The
know.
pretzel ones are better though, right?
Yes. Well, so they're also just literally starch, right? So we don't get full. And so if you instead, there are a lot of examples of this, but if you had actual cheese, right, with some whole grain crackers, or maybe some cheese and turkey on some whole grain crackers and an apple, like that is kind of more of a mini meal that's going to carry you so much further. And you're actually probably, for the people who care about calories, which I try to step away from, but you're probably actually eating the same amount of calories, but you're getting it in the form of protein and more a variety of food groups, and you're going to feel much more full and satisfied and able to wait for the next meal.
Amazing. Lori, anything else in terms of exercise? You talked about kind of moving. So what kind of, could be considered moving?
Okay, so anything that's not sitting. Because
Okay, like
here's what,
walking around the
right, yeah,
house matters?
correct. Yeah, everything. Well,
Okay.
because think about it, right? Because here's what we get. I often get parents of kids who will not move. And their biggest issue is my kid just will not get up. Now, if of course it would be awesome if I was like, well, your kid should be running marathons or joining the cross country team, right?
Right.
That's obviously not going to happen with a kid. Maybe they're actually really out of shape. Maybe it's really hard for them to run or do some of these other exercises that we might think of as kind of traditional, like an exercise bike or go to the gym, right? So what I try to start with is doing something. Anything is better than nothing. If that means taking a 20-minute walk together as a family after dinner, very slowly, and just walking the dog or something like that, that's still better than 0 minutes. Because I think what happens when where families get frustrated is that they expect these huge changes, and they think they have to do all these big, major uplifting or brooding of their lives and go to the gym. And really, they just need to start emphasizing moving more. It's okay if it starts off small, and when they do it too big, they're more likely to actually quit. Like if you put your child into something that's too hard for them, they're going to not want to go back, and then they're going to kind of throw their hands up at the idea altogether.
Yeah, makes
So
sense.
yeah, and also fun things like a trampoline park. I know it's hard right now with pandemic to think about some of these indoor activities, but something like swimming or going to a pool, going to hiking or going to the beach, and anytime you're taking your kids out of the house and off of screens, you're encouraging not only more moving, but you're also discouraging the screens and the snacking.
Yeah, and I mean the reality, at least in our experience, is that once you get the kids out, then they start to kind of build on it.
That's right. And also I think that they don't, if you stop calling it exercise and instead you just make it a fun family activity. Like it's amazing how kids will say they don't want to go walk, but if you're walking around the mall and buying them things, that seems to work great. Like they'll happily walk to the store around Target or whatever, it's funny, right? They
That's
just
funny.
don't want to do the things that we're forcing them to do. And I think that's important too. I
Yeah,
think if you have to force your child to play a sport and they hate the sport, that's probably not the best
that's
route for
right.
them.
I remember I remember telling my daughter, "Hey, let's go for a walk," and she's like, "Dad, we don't do that." I'm like, "You don't walk?" She's like, "No, we go places. We don't walk for
Right.
the sake of walking."
Right. Yes. That's right. And I think we don't walk that much anymore as a society, right? We're trying to
That's
get
true.
places fast and, instant. But I think there are ways to make it fun. And I think if you just make it also a priority, so parents are, it's okay for parents to say, you know what? You actually can't have your phone time until you've done your moving for the day. Like that's okay to do. You would do that with homework. I know parents everywhere are like, if you have a test, you can't be sitting on your video games. And for some reason, that's acceptable. But parents feel like it's not okay to say, and you need to go outside and play for half an hour, or you need to do your moving. And I do think that that needs to be part of the conversation.
Yeah, makes sense. No, that's really good advice. So, Lori, tell me a little bit about maybe some of the challenges that you've experienced as you've actually sort of tried to help some of these families.
Oh my gosh, so many. Well, I think we all have excuses, and I don't like even like to call them that. I like to call them obstacles. But it's so many things. One of the one of the biggest messages I try to give, again, I mentioned this earlier, is about making a family change. And I think the problem is that maybe there's a child in a family. It's almost always, if there's two children or more in a family, there's one that's struggling with weight and there's one that is fine. according to parents, can eat whatever they want, actually need to gain weight. They're super active. They're so athletic. We don't need to worry about them. And I think that's one of the biggest challenges I have is trying to convince parents that this does work for everybody in the family and that it is something that everyone can do. And that part is really challenging and trying to change people's minds around approaching this together as a whole family. Similarly, I have a lot of struggles with parents being different in their ideas. So oftentimes I'll have one parent come to me saying, you know, but my husband needs his Cokes and ice cream in the house and he has to have his chips and he refuses not to have them at home. So what do I do? Or, you know, my wife doesn't think that this is a problem and she's, you know, concerned that we are talking about it. And so I feel like there's a lot of parenting differences around it. So getting everyone on board is hard. A lot of parents talk to me about having a grandparent or another caregiver that is overindulging the child. And that can be really hard, you know, especially if parents are working and a child's being cared for by a grandparent or another family member after school. And that family member doesn't believe that this is an issue at all. And they just want to make the child happy. So they give them whatever they want. I think that's really hard as well.
Yeah. Or one of the parents or grandparents will put them in front of the screen and let them eat.
Yes. So eating in front of screens is a big one, right? It's so easy to do. And I think it's hard to role model because you think about how many times you're on your phone eating, standing up, you know, responding to an email while you're having your breakfast. You know, it's happening all the time for us. Yeah. And so even though it's something I really strongly recommend, eating focused, paying attention, mindful, it's actually really hard for us to role model that behavior. So that starts with us too.
Yeah, no, absolutely good point. So, you know, you've done a lot in terms of your work at the Children's Hospital, the work that you've been doing kind of coaching parents and also as a teacher. How has all this sort of changed you or transformed anything in your life?
I mean, I think that it's just my approach with parents is to be really genuine and really down to earth. I think the reason why a lot of parents don't like going to doctors for help with any kind of particular issue is they feel like they're going to be judged or shamed. Right. And one of the ways that this has helped me, because I'm also a parent, I have a 13-year-old daughter. And one of the ways this has really helped me and shaped me is that I openly admit when I do the wrong thing. And I'm really comfortable sharing that I made a mistake or that I don't know everything. And I try really hard to be approachable and non-shaming myself. Because a lot of parents come to me, you know, with concerns about their child's weight and they are sad. They cry and they say, this is my fault. I, you know, promoted this and I didn't mean to, but I kind of didn't do all these things you're saying. And then they feel really guilty about it. And my job is to say, hey, you know, it doesn't matter what you did before. You care, you're here, and we're going to start making some small changes now and kind of take the blame off of yourself because it doesn't help you to kind of go back and just feel upset about what you've already done. It only helps you to move forward and start fresh.
Yeah. You know, you bring up such an interesting point because I talked earlier about parents being afraid or feeling like it's an unsafe thing to do to talk to their kids about, you know, weight, right? But there may actually be a feeling of guilt that parents are going through also if they feel like they're child is obese and maybe they just don't want to admit that. Do you come across anything like that?
Yeah, or I think there's also just some denial, right? Like they'll grow out of it or it's just a phase or right? Yes. I mean, I think because that happens often too. And, you know, and there's a lot of stigma attached to it. So I do feel like parents feel ashamed or guilty or just don't know how to do it. So they feel like, what are we even going to say? Or I think some parents feel like it's the child's responsibility to fix it, right? And, you know, you need to do this, you need to do that. And they don't realize how much work it actually takes to help a child to accomplish a healthy lifestyle, that it starts with the parents, which is why I work mostly with parents and not with kids directly. If I do see a child, I'm always seeing them with their parents because children don't grocery shop. They don't drive themselves to activities. They don't set their own schedules and limits. So if we don't help them as parents, they really can't help themselves.
Yeah. So what would your, you know, to parents who are feeling that way, and that's kind of been the blocker for them. What would your advice to them be?
Parents who are feeling guilty about their own kind of responsibility.
Or really afraid of the stigma, and so there's a denial that's happening.
Yeah, I mean, I could tell you with based on working with this population for many years, is that if you do nothing and you say nothing and you keep ignoring it, it's going to become a much, much worse problem. 9 out of 10 times, this does not go away on its own. So I would say, if you're starting to think about this, if you're starting to feel like maybe I should approach this, do it now, because it's a lot easier to change behaviors at 6, 8, 10 years old than it is at 14, 16, 18. It's not that you can't do it. It just gets harder and harder as kids get older. And the longer you kind of wait, the more time they've had to develop unhealthy routines and patterns that are harder to break.
Right. Yeah. So Lori, tell me, is there one feeling that you have as a mom that you would rather not feel?
You know, I've listened to a bunch of your podcasts, so I knew this question was coming. yes. My issue, my feeling as a parent that I'd rather not feel is that I have no clue what is going on with this generation of children. And even though I work with children all the time and I'm hearing all sorts of things, the digital lifestyle that these kids are experiencing is so foreign to how I grew up. And it's terrifying, absolutely terrifying, the things that they're seeing, the way they're interacting, the way that they feel about themselves based on what they're seeing on social media, and how they're getting real-time instant information constantly about any topic in the world is horrifying to me. And that scares me as a parent.
Yeah. And they're probably being bombarded with so much, right? That, and I'm sure only a very small portion of it is actually true. So.
Well, right. So much misinformation, but also, you know, how do they know how to separate what is misinformation from truth, right?
Yeah, exactly. They got to figure out how to filter all this. So, Lori, what's your hope for all these parents that you're trying to help?
My hope is just that parents feel like this is a topic they can learn more about in a safe and approachable way, and kind of not see it as a major kind of indication of what kind of parent they are, or feel guilty about it. I just want the information to be available to parents on how to start talking about these things and how to approach it and so that it doesn't just become something that's ignored, because the problem in America in particular is getting much worse, in Canada, in England, everywhere. It's getting much, much worse. And so I feel like it's something that we just can't ignore. And there's not enough people really out there trying to give this information in a way that parents can hear it. So there'll be pediatricians saying, your child needs to eat healthier, exercise more. And parents hear that, but they don't really know what that means. Or they don't really know how to do that. So they're understanding there's an issue, but they're just not knowing what the next steps are supposed to be. So what do I do first? How do I get my kid to do this? And I think that that's my hope, is that by educating more parents about these kind of more behavioral approaches, that it'll just open the doors for more communication all over about these issues.
Yeah. So if there was kind of a takeaway for, if there's a parent listening to this that's got an obese child or is concerned about, whether it be a little bit or a lot about weight with their children, I mean, what would a takeaway be for them as like a next step?
Well, I think the next step is actually talking with any other caregiver or parent that's involved in the child's care and making sure that you're in agreement and ready to address this problem. I think that if you're trying to do it in isolation, you might get frustrated. And I think, talking to your child might not necessarily be the first step. It might be worth talking to their pediatrician without them present, right? It might be worth consulting with a nutritionist without the child present, or talking to a psychologist without the child present, because there's all sorts of reasons why children might be struggling with eating or exercise. And some of them might not even be related to what they eat or how much they move. It might be that they're depressed or anxious or struggling. So I feel like just starting with kind of, what do you think, pick one area that you think might be a contributor and try to start with that. One small thing to start with is going to be better than trying to, like I said earlier, kind of throw everything out and, make these army like schedules of exercise. We don't want to do that. So I think baby steps, and also getting all the caregivers on board. That's a big one.
And the and what I really heard was, you know, do it as a family, because that way you're all kind of creating an environment of support.
Correct. And role modeling is how children learn, right? Yeah. So they watch everything we do. And that's why a lot of my interventions are about self-interventions and kind of what we're doing for ourselves. And kids are watching that as well.
Right. Lori, tell me a little bit about just your practice, what you're doing specifically, and then, you know, where the audience can actually reach you.
Sure. So I, like you had mentioned earlier, I had been working in a hospital-based obesity management program for years. And recently, following the pandemic, I actually decided to start an online program for parents that they could come to privately, that their kids don't have to go to, that isn't in person. And so what I do is I train parents using kind of the principles that I had been implementing at the hospital that are behavior based and they come from psychology. So you might get a different program if you went to a physician or to a nutritionist, and that I do feel like those things are important. What you get from what I'm working with is a behavioral approach, kind of step by step, to some of these bigger issues like emotional eating, boredom eating, sneaking food, motivation, low self-esteem. And a lot of these have nothing to do with nutrition or exercise. A lot of these are really more psychologically based. Right. And so it's my program is called the Parenting Wellness Program. And what it is, it's a monthly membership where parents can access video recorded workshops that I've given, a lot of tools and worksheets and tips on, and have a community of other parents who are working in the program at the same time, and also live coaching calls with me rather than having to go to a physical program or even bring their kids. So it's something that parents can do without their kids even knowing that they're doing it. Certainly I see families with kids together as well, but my primary audience right now is parents, because I feel like they need support. And then again, it's with this really non-judgmental, non-shaming approach. Right. And the way parents can access it is at my website, which is Past Parent Future. So it's www.pastparentfuture.com.
All one word.
Pastparentfuture.com. Yep, all one word.
Sounds good. Well, great, Lori. Thank you so much for being here. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen. We would really appreciate if you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or send us any feedback to reachingroots@wishslate.com. Also, download the Wishslate app to help organize wish lists for your family and change the way you gift. You can download this from www.wishslate.com/download.